Listening to The Burnt Breakfast on RDU 98.5. Now, I'm absolutely delighted to have on the line with me on the re-release of their Horsepower album 20 years after it's first released. I have Sam from the Phoenix Foundation. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yep. Just about to take the kids to school and, you know, doing that thing of transitioning from boring parenting life to reminiscing about being rock musician.
Tell me, being a very successful musician and being a parent, do they go hand in hand?
I don't think they go hand in hand. I think they're quite opposing forces, but, you know, yeah. Lots of people have to navigate that thing. I think if I was a more successful musician, it would be a bit easier. I was talking to an extremely successful New Zealand musician once about touring with kids, and they were just like, oh, it's great, you just get an extra tour van just for the kids.
Must be nice. Like
the play bus.
Wow.
We don't have one bus.
Yeah. That's share the buses round. Come on.
Yeah.
20 years since Horsepower was first released. Can you believe that? Does it feel like 20 years to you?
Yeah, it sort of does. Like, I think we're sort of telling ourselves, oh my God, where did the time go? But actually, we've done so much stuff since then. It feels like different people almost, you know?
Wow.
Like, you have to kind of work quite hard to get into the headspace of a 20-year-old or however old I was when I started writing the songs on that record.
And tell me, when you were coming up to 20 years, did you kind of have a feeling that there might be a re-release of this, or there might be a tour that happens? Like, did it feel quite natural to do this?
Well, our manager, Craig Pierce, he's been really keen on it because we've always wanted to put it out on vinyl.
Mm.
I think the first three records we did never got vinyl releases. I think Buffalo would have been the first one that came out on vinyl because it was much harder to do and you didn't really know what you'd sell.
Yeah, right.
In the noughties, you know, there's that period from about 95 to about 2010 when vinyl was, you know, dead.
Yeah.
I definitely bought vinyl in that time, and lots of people who are, you know, really into music did. I guess because also if you had you given your parents old vinyl and record players, maybe if you're really lucky. And for me, that journey of discovering albums just from getting people's records that they were just throwing out, especially in the 90s. That was really important for how the band formed.
Yeah, interesting. So, okay.
Getting the first album on vinyl kind of does feel like it gives us some kind of full circle closure to that kind of journey.
Yeah, I can see that. That's quite beautiful, really, in some ways.
Yeah, I just like the objects of music, you know, a lot. I mean, I like CDs as well, and cassettes and everything, just, you know, streaming is all good. That's like what, you know, that's how I listen to 90% of my music. But having something to hold that represents that moment in time is so important, I think. Because music is this kind of weird, ephemeral thing that you play it comes out of the speakers and it sort of dissipates into the world.
I always
like having those objects.
Oh, I totally agree. I always say it's so nice to have something tangible and physical to hold. I swear by that. It's the best way to listen to music. And you're going on tour. You've actually already sold out a Christchurch show, so you've added another one on the 22nd, I believe. Have you guys been rehearsing for this tour, or does it come pretty naturally to you guys now?
No, well, some of these songs we've never played live.
Oh, wow.
I think we were kind of already working on Pegasus songs by the time Horse Power came out. Singles like Let Me Die a Woman and Going Fishing, we certainly played those live a lot, and probably their opener, Sister Risk. There's certain tracks that we've just never, ever played live. So we've had to find the old Pro Tools sessions, which were at a different format, different audio format to the to what we all have today. And we've tried converters, and then Luke's been going through those meticulously, actually working out what we recorded, because some of it's quite peculiar. And then working out how we piece it together live so that as close as possible does represent these original recordings. But, we did things like we put the song Bruiser, we put that out through a speaker in an oven. Conrad said we needed to cook the sound, and then we we were probably all a bit high, and we decided, sure, we'll do that. And the album you hear up to the first chorus or something is actually just a tiny shitty speaker inside an oven that I think was on.
Those were not the words I thought I'd be hearing during this interview.
It was a funny time, because we had no idea what we were doing, and all we knew was that we just wanted things to sound different.
Yeah, so right.
Random shit, and quite often those random things would lead us to a cool audio destination.
Tell me, when you listen back on Horse Power now, has your kind of perspective or thoughts on it changed much?
Yeah, I'd say it's evolved quite a lot, because I think at first I was really proud of it, and then almost immediately you think, well, it's a bit naive, and you sort of move on to the next thing. Some of the singing is very sort of feeble, you learn how to sing a lot better when you play a lot more live shows, and we certainly played, the number of gigs we played went up tenfold after putting out Horse Power.
Yeah, right, of course.
And a couple of the songs I thought were a bit cheesy, they're about breakups that I had when I was really young, and just relationships when I just didn't, as a 21, 22-year-old guy, you're so oh my God, this person broke up with me. How could they do this to me?
Yeah.
You're so sort of self-entitled. There's a little bit of that in the lyrics, I think. And I think in lots of people's lyrics from when they're that age. And, that can feel a bit cringy, but then listening to it now quite a long way into the future, I don't hear that cringiness as much as I did 10 years ago, I sort of hear someone who's actually just really young and, singing about what it's like to be really young. And
right.
I think it sounds a lot better than I thought.
Yeah, I mean, you're so right, though. We are all quite insane when we're young 20s, but it's a great time of our lives, so...
Look, 6 months feels like 4 years, experiences really quickly, and they feel so important.
Hey, well, Sam, thank you so much for joining me this morning. To our audience, if you want to go to the Phoenix Foundation's second show, the first one sold out, by the way, so you have to be quick. It's on the 22nd of November at the Loons Littleton, and you can get tickets at Under the Radar. Sam, thank you so much for joining me this morning. It's been an absolute pleasure. And congratulations on, 20 years, and you're getting it out there again, and you're going on tour, and I think it's so cool. And people are just always going to love it. So thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Oh, absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.